This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
It's that time of the week when we talk to our tech guy, Richard Pascoe. It's always entertaining. It's always informative. G'day, Richard.
Hello, Paul. And sometimes it's a bit black label. We've got to say that to the people because occasionally you've been known to beep me, haven't you?
Well, yes. Last week was quite rare. I didn't beep you.
I know. Just a very quick thing we'll start off with, Paul. I saw a client yesterday.
Yes.
Android phone. And you know the QR code check-ins?
Yes.
Yep. So every time she went to check-in, she used the QR code check-ins, up popped up on the screen a naked man.
Oh, what? How does that happen?
Porn, Paul.
So they were able to get into the QR code.
It was a thing. It would literally come along, not on the QR code. It was on her phone. So when she scanned the QR code, it activated the camera. Then it opened up a web page with naked blokes on it.
So, okay. Yes. Well, you have to avoid that. Certainly avoid naked blokes.
She said she was a bird lover because she's eaten a or two at a time. So, yes.
All right. Well, that's beeped. Good start to the day. Hey, listen, we've got a Queensland government app now.
You do?
Yes. You've heard about that?
Yeah, great. Good. We've all got to check in.
We have.
You know, we all got to check in. You know, we're getting our, or hopefully one day we'll all get the injections, you know, as well. Then we have a bit of herd immunity. But till that time, protect your friends, protect the elderly, protect your people that we know. Scan in.
Yes, absolutely. And but some of the oldies, you know, they're not up with technology and they're still signing in with the old ballpoint pen.
I know, and I know it's annoying on there as well for people as well, but, you know, we've got to try and make, if you run a business, you've got to try and make it as easy and happy for people as you can and make sure that people check in.
Now, we're talking with our tech guy, Richard Pascoe. Richard, I'm an iPhone man, but there are people who have Samsungs, don't they?
And lots of people.
You've got some information about Samsung.
I do. Well done for Samsung. They're going to now provide 4 years of updates to their devices as well.
Mm.
We still get more on the Apple side as well because we've got iPhone 6s out there which are still getting updates. But now 4 years of Android security updates on its Galaxy and Tab products because they're realizing that people want to hang on to them for longer. Always been a touch of forced obsolescence on the Android side, Paul. And mm-hmm. People say it's forced obsolescence on the Apple side. Got to say, not as much as on the Android side. So, you know, well done for Samsung. They're working closely with Google. It's a bit different for us, Paul, on the Apple side, because what happens is Apple do an update and it gets punched straight to the phone. Now, what happens with updates on the Android side, Google will send an update to Samsung. Samsung have got along and redo the update. They send it on to the carrier. So whether it's, let's say, Telstra, Optus, Vodafone, they've got to transmit it one by one to them who punch it out to our phones. It's a long, convoluted process, but it looks like it's starting to get their act together, which is good.
Mm.
I've got to say that.
Well, I think it's what you're used to. I mean, you're either an iPhone person or the other mob. And
yep.
I just find it's a lot simpler with iPhone because when I try to find radio apps and things for people with Samsung, they never seem to be able to find them like I can find them simply on the iPhone.
Exactly right. So, yes, but I look forward to the time, Paul, when iPhone users and Android users can walk hand in hand down the street together. So,
absolutely. Yes. A little bit like Beta and VHS, isn't it? But you know, unfortunately, old Beta went out of the market. They were the better system than VHS, but National had VHS and they were better marketers at it.
That's it. It's all about the marketing.
There you go. We almost did a tangent there with the old VHS, you see.
I was going to say, we're going to start sliding off. I've got a couple of just to tease the listeners out, I've got a beaut for you today, so yes.
Oh, beauty. Now, both you and I love our Netflix, you know, shows like Ozark, for example, the Outlander that we're watching at the moment, although we've just finished the series of Outlander. There's some beautiful series and some wonderful...
Have you watched The Queen's Gambit?
Have I? Certainly we have, and the lady who played the lead role in that just won an award.
Yeah, wonderful. If you haven't seen it, people, wonderful series. Absolutely enjoyed that.
And you don't have to be a chess expert or a chess lover to enjoy it. It's just a great story, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a great, great story.
Okay, we're talking about Netflix. Now, Netflix on your smartphone has become a little easier, I'm told.
It has. So for those people who like to, you know, watch things on their smartphone because they put their you know, their ear pods in and they've got surround sound on there and watch the screen, they've announced a feature called Downloads for You. So what happens is, Paul, if you install it on your smartphone, it will automatically download shows and movies based on your preferences. Now, one of the things you can say, well, it's going to eat up all my storage space on there. You can go along and allocate how much storage space it will take up. So say you're running through, let's say, the Ozark series, and you've watched episode 1 and 2. When you go under Wi-Fi at home, it automatically downloads episode, let's say, 3 and 4, knows you've already watched 1 and 2, and will remove it from your phone.
Ah.
Which is a really good thing. So, you know, it's for those people out there who want to go along and do this, it's available on Android right now. On iPhones will be released on the update in about 2 weeks' time. But a lot of people do watch Netflix on their phones and movies on their phone. This might be ideal for you.
Of course, it's a very small screen compared with your biggie you have in your normal lounge room situation. But I must admit, I've never kind of watched a full movie on my iPhone, but I've obviously watched clips and things like that. Yeah. But I don't know whether I want to watch a whole episode of something on a little small phone. How do you feel about that?
That's where size is everything when it comes to technology, Paul. So, yeah.
Size does matter.
Size does matter. But a lot of people, they're sitting up in bed at night, partner might have fallen asleep and decided, let's watch something. So, yes.
Goodness knows what that is.
Exactly right.
Now, you've got a few little tidbits of tech news.
We do. The Elon Musk Starlink internet service, which we talked about a few weeks ago.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, can I just tell you, some friends of ours who are going to set out on a very big trip, maybe 18 months going around Australia, they'll be out in remote areas. And I actually sent the podcast where you spoke about this to them. They were incredibly interested in it and they went, wow, we didn't know about this.
I just think it's a great idea. So if you can see the sky, you'll be able to get internet.
Yes.
That is what it's like. It's $139 a month, $700 for the equipment. But now what Elon Musk is saying is now they're promising speeds of up to 300 megabits per second.
Wow.
So really quick and, you know, quite excited to go along and see it. You know, sample this, and as soon as I get mine, I'll be able to tell the listeners.
Good. Now, our friend was thinking about buying a sat phone, you know, the satellite phone.
I wouldn't.
But no, I know. They said, well, that's what we were going to do. But now they've heard about this one. They went, oh, this sounds good because we'll be in areas. And also, you've got to think of a safety thing. You're out in the middle of nowhere and there's no reception, no internet or anything like that. And you get into strife or something, this could help you out. This could save a life.
It could too. So, yes. Wouldn't it be nice to go somewhere, Paul, sometimes where there is no internet, no cell phone reception?
Yes. I know what you mean. And you can see the stars at night. That's one thing about up here, because there's not a lot of light around. You can go out and have a look at the stars. It's beautiful.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Disney. I know you've got something about Disney.
So if you subscribe to the Disney Plus streaming platform, they've actually introduced the Star brand on there as well. So hundreds of new TV shows and movies on there as well. Some really good, I've got to say, some great things on there now. Really expanded that Disney Plus one before, which was a lot of Marvel and Star Wars. But now we've got the adult content on the other side. It's going to mean going to mean a price rise from $89 to $119 a year. People are like $119 a year, but that's cheaper than Netflix.
Oh, okay.
For it. And what Disney are doing as well, if you paid, let's say, as I do, for a year's subscription, and mine started I think in January. My price won't go up until January next year.
Okay.
So they're not going to come along and say, well, you've got to pay another $30. No, giving it to you straight away.
Do you know, there's two words I wouldn't have thought you'd put together, Disney and adult. You know what I'm saying? So I wonder how Walt Disney would be thinking of the new content that Disney has these days.
Oh, Walt Disney would have loved Deadpool. You know, good heavens.
What?
Have you ever seen Deadpool, Paul?
I don't know if I have.
Very violent, ultra-violent, swearing in it as well.
Is that fun. Disney?
And that's on the on the Disney Channel now.
Oh, gee whiz. See, Walt wouldn't have been happy about that. When you visit on a star, makes no difference who you are. Remember Jiminy Cricket helped sing that?
I know.
Yeah, he'd be rolling.
If Jiminy Cricket was around today, people would have stomped on him. They really would have said yes.
Walt Disney, he'd be rolling in his cryogenic grave.
He would be too. So in case my listeners don't know, didn't he have his head severed?
No, that's a furphy. He didn't have his head frozen. Because there was that story, Walt Disney had his head frozen, yeah. So one day they'd give him a new body. Yeah, no, that's not true.
The head's about 200 years old on
yeah.
top of
it. Well, I think...
I'm 30. So
I think they were on Ergon and the electricity went. And I think he thawed out. So I think they had to throw him out.
Oh, dear.
No, that's BS as well.
Come on, Paul. Don't get in the way of a good story.
Now, the third little thing you got here in your tech news, quick bites, is Apple beat Samsung sales on smartphone. Now, like I was saying before, that does not surprise me. It does not surprise me that Apple has beat Samsung.
It doesn't, but it's the first time since 2016 this has actually happened, because worldwide, Samsung are the number one maker of smartphones.
What?
Yep. But they are. They don't make as much profit on their phones as Apple do. But this year, iPhone, nearly 80 million phones worldwide. Samsung, 62 million. Ooh. A comprehensive victory for the iPhone. It's interesting.
I'm glad, because I love the iPhone, as I said at the beginning of this. Yeah. You know, I just love my iPhone. Okay, we get to the crap tech item of the week. And you told me, and it was a big build-up, you said the crappiest tech item that we've ever done on this podcast.
It is.
Tell us.
It's developed by a university.
That's a good start.
Oh, God, Paul. These are the people that used to strap plastic bags to cows' bums to measure the methane gas coming out. Good God, if you actually got on that research project, you'd shoot yourself. The old fart bag. So, yeah, this is, it was a project called Feel a Conversation, and it was challenged how people experience communication by substituting language for haptic feedback.
Say that again. You've lost me there. What?
Right. Feel the Conversation was developed by this university team. It was an experimental project that challenges how people experience communication by substituting language with haptic feedback.
Haptic
feedback is where it's touch.
Oh,
it's
touch.
Certain things. It's touch. It's feel. It's that sort of thing on there. So they developed a phone pole.
Yes.
That has two attachments on it. One is a brush-style blue silicon feeler.
Yes.
Which looks like the worst comb you would ever want. So you hold it to your face, and as somebody speaks another line, this thing will rub up and down your face. But the other one is a piece of silicon which is shaped like a tongue. Like a tongue produces different sensations. So if the person on the other end said, you know, I really love you, Paul, and things like that, this tongue is going to start licking your face.
What?
Yes.
An artificial tongue licking my face.
So it records a user's speech with a microphone. Then it decides what this thing or the brush style or the tongue is going to go along and do. Can I just say once again, universities, right. If you're putting money towards this, you know, seriously, you know, no wonder you're in trouble sometimes.
Who's sponsoring all of this rubbish?
Well, I hate to say it, governments in a lot of cases are doing it, paying universities to go along and do this nonsense that's out there. Good heavens, awful. Awful thing. I wonder if it got angry on the other end, does the tongue start really, you know, goes a bit firm and gives you a good swift poke in the cheek? Or
maybe even a tongue lashing.
A tongue lashing. Well done, Paul. Yes. I thought you'd go with that.
The old tongue lashing.
Yep. So they're saying, can communication still take place without verbal conversation?
Oh, dear. That is a terrible thing.
Do
we know the cost of this rubbish?
No.
Well,
no.
Who'd want to buy it anyway?
Exactly right.
That is a crap tech item of the week,
terrible.
For sure. It's
terrible.
Now we move on to the tangent. We go off onto our tangent, and now we normally discuss things that aren't with us anymore. Now, I'll start this off. The old alarm clock.
Oh, yes.
You know, because you have your phone now that has alarms. The old alarm clock, you just see them disappearing. People might have an alarm clock from many years ago, but you just don't see them anywhere now. And if they are, they're tizzied up. But the good old-fashioned alarm clock with the little bells on the top, you know.
Oh, the little bells, you used to wind it up at the back.
Wind it up at the back.
A ticking noise that used to keep me awake at night.
That's
so you throw the bloody thing across the room and say, why did I ever buy that bloody alarm?
If you grabbed the alarm clock and flew it across the room, you'd say, well, geez, time flies.
Exactly right.
When you're having fun.
Boom,
boom, boom, boom.
No, okay. Alarm clocks are well and truly gone now. So yeah.
Well, I'm sure some people listening to this still have an alarm clock, but they're kind of, they're antiques now.
I think that you can, there is one that I reckon I saw for about $900.
What?
That somebody had made. I might do some investigation.
What, diamonds, diamond encrusted?
No, this wonderful precision piece of engineering so that the time is right and, you know, all of those sort of things.
So what do you got?
Do you remember all the cool kids when you were growing up? The really cool kids would have one of those ride-on powered vehicles. So like a motorcycle, a car or a truck that had this massive battery in it and they'd be able to ride around the streets with it?
No, I used to have a billy cart, but it had no motor.
Yeah, if what we all the rich kids.
Oh, the rich kids. See, I wasn't a rich kid.
Neither was I, Paul.
I grew up at Panania Reevesby near Bankstown. We were a working class suburb. My dad made me a billy cart. I never remembered a motorised one. Geez, you'd have to be really rich.
Oh, in the 80s and the 90s.
Oh, hang on. Now you're talking much later, you know, from when I was growing up. In the 80s and 90s, they had these things, did they?
Yeah, it did. Fisher-Price always made them. So they used to, you know, it was a fully functional miniaturised motorcycle car or truck. It had a massive battery in it.
Oh.
Had a couple of issues in there, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so a lot of time was, let's say they got recalled all the time because you know what would happen, Paul?
What?
They'd explode and catch fire while the kids were riding them. That made it exciting, didn't it?
Well, yes, they'd be truly burning down the road.
They would too. So, you know, that was one thing on there as well.
Yep.
The other thing, Paul, is do you remember lawn darts?
I remember lawn green.
Yeah, from Bonanza.
Ringo, Ringo, Ringo.
Lawn darts were around in the early 80s and 90s as well.
Sorry.
So what toy makers, and it was a different time back then, people. It really was. So what they did was they gave these miniaturized javelins to little kids so they could throw them around. And they if you go back, they were even in the 60s as well, but there were lots of accidents around because kids were getting embedded with these darts and they ended up having a nationwide ban on the things as well. Very popular for a while until kids started getting stabbed with them, so yes.
Oh, that's terrible, terrible. And what about, we mentioned lawn green, of course. Do you remember lawn green?
I do.
Do you?
I've been to the Bonanza House.
Oh, you have?
I have in America and I've got a Bonanza tin cup.
Oh.
That I got from the Bonanza House.
Oh, I'd love to. Is it signed by Little Joe or Hoss?
They were all there when I went because they actually had lifelike stuffed versions of them all over the house.
Ringo. He was fantastic. He had a beautiful voice, didn't he, old Lorne Green?
He did, and Tony Pilkington, who's been on your show, and Barry Ian,
yes,
you know, as well.
Yes, Barry comes up here every April. They stay at the caravan park.
Barry Ian and Pilko tell the story of when Lorne Greene was in Sydney.
Oh, yes, and he was doing live commercials for them.
Live commercials, and he just wandered into the studio and start doing the show with them, which was great.
Imagine having Lorne Greene to say, read this commercial, you know, read this commercial for Murano's, or read this commercial for P&A Express Automotive. And Lorne Greene doing your ad for you. The voice.
It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Oh, so they said he was a very, very nice man, but over in the house, they did all the stuff.
Come on, sing along with me, Ringo. You ready?
Ringo.
Go.
Ringo.
Ringo.
The story spread throughout the land.
We'll leave Lorne there. Thank you very much, mate. Tell us your website.
Head over to talktech.com.au.
Catch you next week.
Thanks, Paul.